it's a strange thing when people are told that water is wet today, they freak out. And they don't just freak out, they start lying, manipulating to pretend and maintain the myth that water isn't wet at all. It's not. It's just a fiction. Andrew was born in the US when his father was working for the military. His father was a chess grandmaster, Emery Tate, and pretty famous in chess circles, did really well. He grew up with his dad and his mum. His brother Tristan came along a few years later, a couple of years later, and then his father and mother had a divorce. This divorce happened with three children. Tate was about 10 years old, Tristan was 8, and Janine was 5. This little family, with an influential father, Andrew being the oldest one, they were taken to the UK, to a place which is frankly a bit of a shithole, called Luton in the UK. It is a bit of a shithole. Sorry, Lutonites. And as a 10-year-old boy, he would have taken the position of his father as they went to the UK. So he's responsible in some way, certainly, for his brother. And that's why they are so close. His brother and him are very tight. So these guys arrive in Luton. They don't really have anything. They're in the shit. All of them are in the shit. Financially strapped and so on. Split up from their father. Andrew's the oldest in the house at 10 years old. Luton, well, just being in the UK, coming across from America and coming across to Luton and so on after this has happened, this would have been a really traumatic experience. Not just because it's Luton, but because of the circumstances surrounding their move. Andrew would have been affected by this in a really bad way, and he obviously looked after his brother, and that's one of the reasons why their relationship is so tight. There is a kind of responsibility about this guy that is pretty unusual because of the circumstances of them being split up as a family. You can see a lot of this in the way that Tate is responsible in some ways. He takes responsibility for a lot of the young men that are in the world, a lot of the people that follow him, by giving them a reason to be strong in a world that is chaotic. That's Andrew Tate's mission. People that disagree with his methodology and so on and so forth, that's a different topic. It's different. You can disagree about the way that people deliver things and so on, but the actual message is a message that is for young men, and it is especially relevant in the world that we live in today, because the world that we live in today is... The world that we live in today isn't a world that is very helpful towards men, young men in particular. The world that we live in fact, a world that is extraordinarily pro-feminist in the West. And this has caused many, many, many problems, but nobody really seems to care. Like, nobody pays attention to this. The issue with young men is especially important because they have become also grossly over-feminized. They don't have male role models, but men are going to try and be men. They'll find role models elsewhere. They'll find role models. I think I pointed this out in the previous interview about Sam Smith. What's going on there? Somehow this kind of thing is acceptable, and yet somebody who's telling people to work hard and take responsibility for their lives is some sort of toxic misogynist. This is the kind of world that we're living in now, and it doesn't make sense. None of this makes sense at all. Water is wet. It always will be. So Tate went on after being in Luton, did a number of jobs and so on and so forth, oftentimes together with his brother. He went on, got involved in kickboxing, fighting, and martial arts. He then went on to become the world champion of kickboxing in his weight class. And he's a serious guy. When it comes to fighting, he's actually a serious contender. Then he went on to start a number of different businesses. And one of these was the cam business. This was sort of in the early days before OnlyFans became popularized and whatnot. So he was there really at the right time of this particular massive growth in cam girls. After making money with the cam business, he ended up getting involved in casinos and gambling and so on. The camgirl business was done in Romania. In Romania, this is actually quite a popular business. It's sort of the center of the world for camming businesses. So this is a guy that had been on a journey that was very, very difficult, a difficult emotional, traumatic journey. And through his own grit and determination, self-control, he managed to really make something of himself through working really hard. And the way that this has worked out for him, surprise, surprise, is by dealing with reality. Not dealing with what people say, but dealing with the way that people actually behave, dealing with the real world. The problem is that the things that people say and the way that that the world actually works is a different thing. It's not the same. It's become increasingly distant. And as this distance has increased, you've ended up with a lot of stress and problems in the society. Tate's next idea was to completely take over the internet. And he did it. The plan's really quite simple. The core message of Tate about young men, responsibility, dealing with reality, and so on, it's kind of boring. It's a bit of a boring thing, and it doesn't get the attention of the population that we have today in the West, because people's attention spans are just too short. So the way to get them is to create controversy and humor and outrage and anger. By doing this and using clips and shorts and so on and so forth, you can hook people. People are watching this stuff and they're thinking, what the fuck? You know, what, this guy's really funny, or this is outrageous. And of course, people share these short clips and so on. People were also encouraged to be able to copy this content and distribute it. And so because of this, what happened was is that this content became very popular, and the content hooked people in order to go into and become more engaged with the longer form content that would allow Tate to be able to express himself about, look, the fact is that the world that we live in is a world that is very different from the one that you've been told. And the best way to get ahead in that world is to actually deal with that rather than buying into the whole Matrix idea, because it's a lie. It doesn't work. It might work for some people, but essentially, if you really want to get ahead, you need to understand what is real and what is not. And the reality is that things are actually really brutal, especially for young men. And that in order to get ahead in that, you're going to have to work your ass off. You're going to have to develop real, genuine confidence. And the way to do that is to get out there and start taking action on whatever it is that you want to do. It might be just getting fit and strong, which every young man should do anyway. It's a no-brainer. Whether it's coming up with ideas, developing those ideas, seeing if they make money, fucking it up, failing, getting up again, doing it again, until you get something that goes. It's brutal. It's completely brutal. Problem is, with all of these shorts that were created and distributed to hook people into longer form content, is that people obviously got pissed off. That was the idea, to piss off a lot of people and explain, kind of expose them for the charlatans that they are. The reason why it pissed off a lot of people was firstly because that was the intention, because it generates virality and controversy and more media attention. But the problem was is that these are the people that are not actually going through to look at the longer content that Tate created. What does this guy have to say? They weren't interested in that. All they saw was the content that was created to be controversial. So this is why in the UK, for example, and I think elsewhere in Europe, you've got all of the teachers freaking out, the education system spending, what is it, $1 billion set aside to teach young people, especially young men, about the problems that we have today with misinformation and problems with the internet and so on and so forth. But basically, it's because of Tate. And this is ridiculous because none of these people have actually watched any of the content that Tate has created beyond those shorts. So he's labeled as a misogynist and dangerous and so on and so forth. An unfortunate side effect of this has been that a lot of the kids, especially who are younger, say sort of 13 to 16, 17 years old, they've seen these clips. And because they are funny and controversial and it pisses people off, they would also start acting in a way that was just completely out of line. For example, calling girls bitches and stuff like this. Like this sort of shit is just completely out of line. But it is a consequence which Tate probably regrets. But in a way, you could argue that it was necessary. In a way, it's a necessary consequence of being able to get the attention of people. And getting their attention is the hardest thing that you can do today because people have got no attention. They have no attention. All they're interested in is the next thing because they are literally stuck with their phones and the matrix, if you like, and they're stuck in this system. They're constantly scrolling. So there's kind of a heavy price to pay for this. This is just one example of how this stuff has been misinterpreted. Well, not misinterpreted. It's just a consequence. I don't think it could have been done in another way. I really don't. There's always going to be fallout and so on. And, you mustn't make the perfect the enemy of the good. Tate's core message, really, at the end of the day, is that young men are not born with any value. You're not. And it's true. You're not born with value. In order to do it, you need to create value. And in order to create value, you need to deal with the real world. In order to deal with the real world, you need to understand how to be confident in the face of uncertainty, in the face of risk, and be able to eventually perform regardless of your particular situation, regardless of how you feel. You need to be able to perform. You need to be able to perform and be competent. Competent men have value. Incompetent men, weak men, do not have value. There isn't any value to a man that is constantly complaining, to a young guy who is whinging that it's too wet outside to go for a run or can't be asked to do a particular amount of work in order to get something done and so on. In order to deal with the real world, you've got to go and pursue a particular goal. All of these things are actually really honourable things. These are the things that make the world a better place. These are the exact things that create a society that actually moves forward. And young men's job, in particular, is to move the society forward. In the previous video I did, I sort of outlined the fact that there are huge problems in the society that we have today, really, really big problems. And the job of young men is to be able to address these problems. Like, you guys have to do it. It's your job. Everything's fucked. Look around. Everyone has a job to be able to step up and do it. Now, most people won't be able to, and they're not interested in doing it. That's fine. That's completely fine. Most people have no interest in pushing themselves. They don't have any interest in that. They're lazy. They're interested in just scrolling along on their phone, in not having any emotional control, on doing what they feel like. These people are the kinds of people, oftentimes, that actually dislike this message that Tate is giving them because it exposes them in many ways for what they are, which is what you would say, which is beta males. These guys are fucking beta males. It's fine. It doesn't mean that they're assholes, and it certainly doesn't mean that they're stupid because a lot of them are very smart. But what it does mean is that at the end of the day, they are the people that are not taking risks. They are the people that are not pushing themselves and innovating and creating change. The people that are doing that in order to create change in the culture, it is an enormous amount of hard work. It takes a lot of hard work to do it. Doing this work is even harder when we live in a world that is, that worships at the altar of feminism all the time, where girls and boys, men and women, are told, sort of given this idea that they are victims. There really is. People throw it around, oh, the victim Olympics, but it's a true thing. This is why so many people have got labels that are attached to them that, oh, I'm neurodivergent. Oh, I've got this problem. Oh, I've got that problem. Oh, I suffer from anxiety. I suffer from depression and so on. And by labeling themselves and having a culture that encourages this kind of thing, what it's done is that it's kind of medicalized a massive portion of the population to avoid doing anything that is actually constructive. It's not constructive at all. There needs to be a relationship between reality and you. And if there's a problem, it's probably you, and that you can't change reality to fix with your particular problem. You're not going to win. That's the battle that has been happening, and that is the thing that Tate is communicating to young men. And this is something that I do as well. This is something that is really, really important to me after spending so much time away from the UK. And then I come back here, and the place drastically changed in 15 years. A completely different place. A place where people were constantly complaining, you know, about how they weren't respected and how we need to respect people and how everybody's opinion is valid and how, because of the colour of your skin or who you happen to like to fuck and what you do with it is has become the most important thing. If that's the most important thing about you, if what you like to fuck or who you like to fuck or how you like to fuck, it's bullshit. Nobody cares. If that's the most important thing about you, there's something wrong with you. There's literally something wrong with you. On a fundamental basis, there is something wrong with you. If that is the core of who you think you are, and that's the way, that's the goggles that you understand the world, you're a bloody idiot. You're an idiot. There's no other way to put it. The problem is that because nobody cares, no one gives a shit. Do the work. Yeah, maybe the reason why you didn't get the promotion might be not because you are black or green or orange or you have some weird, unusual sexual preference and so on and so forth. No one gives a shit. Maybe the reason why you didn't get the promotion is because you're an asshole. Maybe it's because you're a lazy cunt. Maybe it's that. But no, instead, everybody's got a little like a free card that they can wave around and say that, oh, you know, it's because of this. It's because of this, because I'm black. It's because I'm trans. It's because this. No, it's not. It's not that. It's because you're probably an idiot and you need to change something about you in order to make yourself more useful. People want useful people. People like competent people. Jobs in companies exist in order for you to provide value. If you're not providing value, if you're not providing value at school and so on, it's probably because you're lazy, because you can't be asked, because you're disinterested. If you want to do well, you just get on with it and do well. Water is wet. It's not some sort of magical new idea. This stuff isn't complicated. Again, what Tate is saying is nothing. People would have laughed at this 20 years ago. Like, you know, so? Yeah, obviously all of this is right. We all knew that it was right. It was always right before then. And in massive parts of the world, it still remains right. My wife is Chinese. She watches Andrew Tate and so on. And she's baffled. Of course, it's funny and entertaining. But she's baffled that this is basically how the Chinese operate. It's super basic. It's basic human behavior. Whether even the relationships between men and women and so on, and there is a, and the particular roles that are in there, and when he talks about work and laziness, when he talks about people that don't care for themselves and their bodies, when it comes to people making excuses about things, these are all really obvious for probably the vast majority of the world. They understand this. This is, it's like gravity. It works. Always has done. There's no different. There's nothing innovative here. Water's wet. Everybody else knows that. The problem is that in the West, people somehow, in a desperate effort to accommodate everybody, what's happened is that now we've turned into this weird, retarded society, and it's ended up with a lot of young men, their role to be able to achieve things, to go out to take risks, to be strong, to take responsibility, they've ended up turning into these sort of strange pseudo-men, these over-feminized men. And these over-feminized men are, ironically, incredibly dangerous and boring. They're boring, they're dangerous, and the reason why they're dangerous is because they can only exist in a culture that creates, that gives them a kind of power. They have a kind of power over other people, a righteousness. Oh, you know, it's not fair. Everything should be more fair. I'm going to fight for fairness and equality. And on the face of it, this doesn't seem like a bad thing. But the fact is that some people are better at things than others. Newsflash. Some people are taller than other people. Some people are better at running and jumping than other people. Some people are really good at certain things and some people are not. A lot of those things are down to people working hard. Some people that work hard are better at something than other people. obviously, because effort and effort that is applied is how you get better at doing something. If you have a problem, you go about that problem and you get into the problem. And maybe the problem is really scary, so it takes courage and so on and so forth. And you go in, and this is called growing up. Instead, what's been happening is that people are, well, there's the idea of the man child. And they are everywhere. They are everywhere. And there's the sort of prevalence of bitchy behavior, of bitchiness and so on that men get. Men are behaving like women would, backstabbing and all this sort of thing. But in the past, it would just be very straightforward and confrontational with disagreements and so on. But instead, the lack of balls that people have in general society amongst men has led them to act in a way that is feminine. This stuff is super dangerous. They feel justified in doing just about anything, using what, again, would normally be female tactics, which is undermining people, reputational destruction, this kind of thing. This kind of thing is super, super toxic, and you see it everywhere. You see it with the people that are all in on saying that Tate is guilty about human trafficking. That Tate is the devil. He's the devil. He's a misogynist piece of shit, and he deserves. He shouldn't be allowed to say anything. Shouldn't be allowed to say anything. And they think that they're justified in doing this without realizing that actually it's them that are being totalitarian. And the irony, of course, is completely lost on them. The irony's lost. At the end of the day, the foundation of their argument is that, well, they get satisfaction from, because they're NPC beaters, for example, that would never be able to make it in reality. They are desperate to get a sense of power and righteousness in the society that we live in by undermining people. And they will lie and they will manipulate. And these guys are often quite obsessive, but you'll notice and so on. If for some of you that follow a lot of the Tate stuff, especially on Twitter and elsewhere on YouTube, you'll see that they there is a kind of viciousness about them. There's sort of a relentless viciousness about them. They're so committed to the idea of holding on to the fact that Tate can't possibly be right. He can't be right. And the reason why in their mind he can't be right is because if he is right, then they lose their sense of power and control and cleverness. It's bullshit. It's just fucking bullshit. 11 months ago, there was the situation where Tate's property in Romania was raided by DICOT, and within 24 hours they were released. It was because of a complaint. It was on by a girl who wasn't paid and so on and so forth, and she made a particular complaint that they were being held against their will and so on. Everybody can find the details. But then it was quite obvious to the police and the authorities at the time that what, and as Andrew and his brother explained, that this is just some woman who was really bitter about the fact that she wanted to have more money, that she wasn't paid enough money. And that was it. And so they was, yep, no problem, we get it. It's just a woman that's making a fuss and so on, and there's nothing to see here. She's just bitter about the situation. That was 11 months ago. The cancelling and so on of Tate in, what was it, November, maybe October, November, that didn't work. That backfired really badly. Of course, increasing his notoriety and so on, that didn't work. But then comes the second arrest. This is a very weird situation. The whole thing is wrapped up in all kinds of oddness. There's almost nobody can look at this who doesn't, regardless of what you think about Tate, the whole thing looks really, really bad. It really does look like a setup, but it does stink. Especially with a lot of the things that have come out recently. There was the transcript that was released, that was leaked, a couple of days ago from one of the accusers. And yes, people can say that it's been faked and so on. Maybe it has been faked. We don't know. I've looked at it and so on. Maybe yes, maybe no. But this is sort of the latest in a massive, massive, relentless amount of information that makes the whole case look completely stupid. What's interesting about this is that this particular case is kind of the pointy end of the spear of this problem that we have in our culture, and which is the problem of over-feminization and the fact that people don't want to deal with reality in some way or another. Regardless of the situation around Tate's arrest, Tate has been arrested and people believe that it is associated with the things that he has said and the kind of person, the message that he brings and the kind of person that he is, and that he is influencing young men in a way that would be damaging on a systemic level to Western culture and society. In a way, this is true. And that's why this case is really, really important. Because no matter what happens with Tate, no matter what happens, Tate's already won. You can't put the cat back in the bag. It's already done. If he is charged and arrested and jailed, Tate will become a martyr for the problem that we face today. He'll become a martyr for young men for a long, long, long time in the future. And this kind of martyrdom is something that is not new. This has happened repeatedly in the past. Anybody who speaks truth to power, a lot of these people have ended up getting in the shit. A lot of them have been killed, and there are examples of this all over the place. Like, classic examples of this sort of thing would be someone like Jesus, for example, making the Romans pissed off, making them angry, so they crucify him. People like Martin Luther King, who was assassinated for talking about equal rights for black people, stuff that wasn't agreeable, stuff that was verboten in the society. People like Gandhi, people like Che Guevara, even though Tate's obviously not a communist. But these people are people that are punished. Probably the best example is actually Socrates. Socrates was charged with troublemaking and with influencing the youth of Athens in a negative way. So he was sentenced to death. Making these comparisons of these guys with someone like Tate might seem a stretch, but it's not. The world that we live in is a world that has a void of meaning. There's no God for people to fill that void, so they fill it with just about anything. They'll fill it with anything at all. It is a gaping void in our culture. And this void is filled for a lot of people with stuff like climate change, for example. Their entire worldview becomes stained in a religious way. It frames the entire way that they exist because it gives them meaning. If you really believe in climate change and so on, you have an opportunity to be able to frame your life and the work that you do and so on in a way where you have purpose and meaning. Socrates did that in Athens, and he went about and told people that they should be thinking critically about things, that they shouldn't be accepting things at face value. Socrates, in many ways, was trying to get people, young people in particular, to understand that water is wet and dealing with reality and using rationality and logic is the way that we actually go forward. And this will always be the case, and that he was prepared to die rather than say that water isn't wet. There's a lot of honor and courage in this sort of thing. If Tate's jailed, he is essentially immortalized. If he's not jailed and he comes out, his message continues and the work continues, and there'll be massive consequences about what's happened, societal consequences, in particular if it turns out that in the end, in the final analysis, it turns out that these particular girls did actually lie and plan and manipulate this whole thing. It was just all a bloody ruse. That's going to cause some serious problems. But regardless of what happens, Tate's won. He can't lose this. There is, of course, it would be really terrible if he ends up getting charged and ends up in jail. But all that will do is reinforce the actual message that he had. And so Tate's role as a hero in the world that we live in today is only going to grow bigger. Take stands for individualism over collectivism. He stands for responsibility, personal responsibility over irresponsibility. He stands for hard work instead of laziness. He's a traditionalist in many, many ways. And these are things that are contrary to the world that we live in today. There is also a final irony in all of this, in that as Tate's influence grows, which it undoubtedly will regardless of the outcome of this particular case, what's going to happen is that it's a really good thing for the world that we live in. It's a good thing for everybody, men, women, young and old. The influence has simply served to create a situation where we are able to make a better society, make a society and have a culture, whether it's on an individual basis or on a wider scale, that is more balanced, that has that appreciates and cherishes and grows competence and usefulness and determination and courage and honor. These things are big things, and they're things that we've lost, and they're things that are not normal not to have. It's crazy that these things aren't normal. And the result is the kind of shit that we see people doing all around us, the kind of mindless, drony crap that people do, the way they waste time, the way they whine and complain, the way that they are victims, and the way that nobody speaks up about the fact that a lot of people who claim that they are interested in making the world a better place because they care and that kindness is important, those people are the people that are being exposed as totalitarian, as divisive, as censorious. And it's these people that actually all of us really need to be wary of, because it's those people that are really the dangerous ones.